I don't know. There's a 6:30. I'd like to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting tonight, October 12th, 6:30 regular meeting. We'll start out tonight, I'll lead in Pledge Allegiance, and I've asked Paul Mattson to lead us in, to say the opening prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear Father in heaven, we come before you tonight, we pray, Father, my spirit will be with us. We ask that the council will have thy help in the decisions that they have to make. We'll do it in a pleasing manner unto thee and unto the citizens of this community. We're grateful, Father, for this community and all the blessings that come to it here. We're grateful for the moisture we've received the last few days, and pray for the needs that we need to sustain us throughout next summer. We love thee, Father. We're grateful for all that thou dost for us. And we say this in the name of my Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Next, we'll have a roll call.
Justin.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Walt.
Here.
Rodney.
Here.
Sam.
Here.
Okay, next is approve minutes from the September 14th regular city council meeting held at 6:30.
This must have been a quick one.
Yeah, I wasn't here. I don't think he was here. I'll make the motion that we approve the minutes for 14 September 2021, 6:30 p.m. regular city council meeting.
I second that motion.
Rondi. All right, we have a motion by Russell and seconded by Rondi to accept the minutes from the September 14th regular city council meeting held at 6:30 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is September 28th, public hearing held at 6 p.m. concerning the purchase of the well.
We approve the city council meeting, city council minutes, September 28th, 2021, at 6:30 p.m. On the public hearing.
It's a 6 o'clock public hearing.
Or I'm not on the 28th.
It's on the 28th, but it's a 6 o'clock. You said 6:30.
Okay, 6 o'clock public hearing.
They got 6:30 here on the paper in the minutes.
We need to change that on the minutes.
I couldn't remember. Everything else looks good to me, though.
Did you have a second?
No.
I'll second.
All right, I have a motion by Rondi, seconded by Justin, to approve minutes from the September 28th public hearing held at 6 p.m. We'll change the time on the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is our September 28th regular city council meeting held at 6:30.
make a motion to approve September 28th, 2021, 6:30 regular meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, got a motion by Sam, seconded by Rondi, to approve the minutes from the September 28th regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is approval of adjustments. Transaction register dated 9/1 to 9/30 of 2021 in the amount of $3,790.73.
That's one of our small ones.
For that one.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve transaction register from 09/01/2021 to 09/30/2021 in the amount of $3,790.73.
Yeah, the motion by Russell and seconded by Kevin to approve the transaction register dated 9/1 of 2021 to 9/30 of 2021 in the amount of $3,790.73. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Okay, next is approval of claims and requisitions. Claims register dated 9/25/2021 to 10/6/2021 in the dollar amount of $296,940.39.
My first question is on page 4. Top page, civic review, 6750.
That's our online program that we're now using to do the building permits, business licensing. They can now do their online application for utilities.
Okay.
Fire burn permits.
That's
all online now. They have to go online to apply for any of those.
And that's the annual cost, right?
Right.
Yep. And we're still able to add a few other things to it. I said it had made it a lot easier for them. I think because as they put in their information, it's already calculating what they're going to need to pay, and by the time they're done filling out the application, they know what it's going to cost them to build, to put in their building permit.
Well, it's nice because it goes in through and talks about, you know, anything planning and zoning does too. When I go look at the building permits, it talks about all that and shows what they discussed in planning and zoning and all that.
And it also sends out an email to everybody that needs to approve it so that they can go in on whichever.
Yeah, saves a lot of time.
That's helpful a lot.
Yeah, did you mention that's also the subscription you use to pay your utility bill?
It's so that you can sign up for utilities. That way, you know where you have to take a $200 deposit. You can do that through there. You can also go on there and tell them, hey, I'm moving and I need my services terminated too.
Cool.
Which has made it a lot easier for us too.
Oh, yeah.
Is that code enforcement in that too? Or, I know a while ago we talked about having a way to track code violations and stuff.
Actually, now that you say that, yes, I did get it on. I've got all of our police officers on there. So, like, if they go out and they're give a lead warning or something, yeah, that can be done through there.
Okay.
So, yes.
Thanks, Jeannie.
I am.
I think so.
Make a motion to approve the invoice register from September 25th to October 6th, 2021, in the amount of $296,940.39.
Okay, Okay, I have a motion by Justin, seconded by Sam to approve claims register dated 9/25/2021 to 10/6/2021 in the dollar amount of $296,940.39. Roll call.
Justin?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Rodney?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
As I say, I don't see any requisitions.
But they
I think he was going down to the IPP meeting in Vegas because he was already going to be in St. George for...
He didn't get the papers for me, but he said he would.
Hotline school.
Shows it on your agenda.
Yeah.
He told me that he was going to do it, but I don't have like the paperwork saying where he's going or how much it's going to cost.
Does it need to be done tonight?
No, it can be done next time because it's November. So we'll skip it. Yeah, we'll just table it. But he's not here. Next, Linda Christensen. I'm going to move this.
We're having trouble with people hearing in the audience.
Okay.
So we're going to move this a little bit. Have you stand over here so kind of both can see.
Okay.
If that's all right.
That's fine.
That way they can hear you better if we can still hear you.
Okay.
We found that out last week.
I'll try it. I want to thank you guys for letting me come today. I have a really hard time with my words sometimes, and you'll understand why when I tell you what I'm here for and why. So I do have my talk written because I have a hard time sometimes, and I'm going to try really hard not to be emotional. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Linda Christensen. I moved to San Pete County in 1991, 30 years ago, to attend Snow College. After that, I graduated. I met my best friend, and we were married. We started our family 25 years ago and have raised our kids, including two nieces, in Manti. My career started with the county the same year. So some of you might know me from the county. Kevin, I'm from the building department. He hears my voice, but he never sees me.
I'm sitting here trying to make
sense. He's never seen me in the flesh. So,
yes, I have.
So, you have. So, this past April, our son, Cade, died of suicide at age 21. After a lifelong battle with depression, many health issues, including horrific eyesight. He had IEPs from preschool to 12th grade. He had to overcome many challenges that were not in his control. He loved everyone he met deeply and always shared his joy to be with those that he loved, but he struggled to love himself. In the past few months, I've repeated to myself, what could I have done differently? Why did I not see this coming on that day? Why did Cade not know how much he was loved? Why did he keep listening to those liars in his head that told him that he wasn't good enough? Why did the years of counseling and medicine not stop this from happening? He was doing so much better, he told us. And on that day, the last day we saw him, he was so happy. What changed when he left to hang out with his friends? What was said to him? How was he feeling? The truth of the matter is, we will never know. And we couldn't stop it from happening. I'm not a mental health specialist or an expert on how we can stop this heartbreaking loss from ever happening to another person or family. The week that I returned to work after losing Cade, I was approached by a man in the hallway of the county courthouse that I knew but was not really sure that he knew me. He shared with me and a fellow coworker his concern on the recent loss of a young man who had died of suicide. A young man that was too young to pass and had a beautiful life of him ahead of him. As I listened to him and tears streamed down my face, I thought, why is he telling me this? Doesn't he know that I am that young man's mom? He explained the reason he brought this up is that he has seen positivity signs in Richfield, and he wanted to see them in Manti. He thinks it may help someone that is struggling. After he explained his concern, I told him that I am in fact that young man's mom. I was living my worst nightmare, and that even though it was painful to hear him talk about my son's death, I love that Cade sparked his fire to help others. The last few months, most days I struggle to get out of bed. My heart aches, and I'm weakened with sadness. I look at Facebook, Instagram, and the news. I see posts and stories of friends, family, and complete strangers that share their struggles and pain. So many are hurting and have been dealing with their own anxieties and sadness. As time passed, he reached out to me again, wondering if I had moved forward with his idea. I think about it often, but was doubting my ability to spread light and love when I feel so much pain. A thought came to my mind, when you can't find the sunshine, feed the sunshine. It made me realize that I do need to do something that benefits all of those around me. I want to contribute to our community by looking for ways to be a blessing and spread joy. I love the idea of positivity signs and lifting someone's spirit and mood, but I wanted to go beyond Manti. I want to spread joy and light everywhere. I want the signs throughout the county. I want signs, notes, magnets, stickers, flags, everywhere I can put them, on lawns, mirrors, bathroom doors, shirts, street signs, billboards. Anywhere can be seen and brighten someone's day. If you have the power to make someone happy, do it. The world needs more of that. We all need more of that. So that brings me to why I am here. I am reaching out to the schools, the cities, and the county, asking for support of my new group and project. I have teamed up with Mike Barton with I4 Media, and he's going to help me turn my vision into a reality. He's going to print my signs, stickers, banners, whatever else I may create to spread love throughout San Pete County. The group I am starting will be called San Pete Kindness Group, and our first project will be called Be a Light. I could donate all the extra money that I have to another organization, which isn't much, to help raise money for mental health, depression, and suicide awareness. But I want it to go to the people I see and know, to the community I love, in hopes to make a difference in our hometown. So I'm funding the initial production of the signs to start this ball rolling. The project will be funded by donations and fundraisers, but no one will be charged for a sign. If an office, an individual, or a business wants a sign, all they have to do is ask and one will be provided. The more donations we receive, the more signs that will be printed. I believe that as word spreads and smiles are seen, more people will want to be involved as well as contribute. When Cade was 8 years old, I found this book of his. This is his book when he was 8 years old. He said that if he was elected president, that the thing that he would be remembered as was being happy and nice to everyone, someone who helped everyone. Cade was that light to so many. He just couldn't see the light in himself like we did. So we put out some of the signs that are examples. The cost of 30 double-sided signs are approximately $250. My hope is to eventually cover the county. As the project grows, there will be more signs produced. I hope to have different ones in different cities, rotate them throughout the county. I've talked to the county commission. They have approved me to decorate the courthouse. So I'm going to be putting similar quotes and positive wording on the bathroom windows, bathroom mirrors. For me, that courthouse has given me a career for 25 years, but some people go in there and they lose their children, they lose custody, they might go through a divorce, they might get charged with a felony. And so to all, that building is not a peaceful feeling. And it's been shown that a lot of people go to the bathroom when they're having feelings of anxiety and stress. So I want it to be somewhere that they can find maybe a little upliftment,
I also, they've approved me to put how to contact suicide, the National Suicide Hotline. I also want to put on the back of bathroom doors, I have some examples. These are just things I've printed, you know, how to, I'm stressed out, what do you do if you're feeling stress or anxiety? Mental health, how you, if you're having feelings of mental health stress, what's 5 ways to improve mental well-being? You know, even those of us that work there have feelings of stress and feeling like you're a little overwhelmed in life sometimes, whether it's personally or in your job. And so I just want to kind of help with mental awareness everywhere, but also hopefully bring a smile to someone. I know, and I in no way think that I'm going to stop the pain we all may feel from time to time or stop another death by suicide, but it may. And I'm willing to try because I hope that no parent ever has to feel the pain that my family just felt. So my first step is in getting my group off the ground, I really wanted the community to help me come up with a logo. So I'm asking ages 2 to 200 to help me design a logo. I'm going to do a contest. I was hoping to leave my flyers. It would start the 1st of November and go until the 30th of November. And then I am donating a dinner for the winner's choice anywhere in Stampede. My goal is to use all the resources I can in Stampede. I want to try not to go out of Stampede. And so for funding, for production, everything that's involved in getting this off the ground, I tried to pay attention, but I was rushing because I knew I was late. I didn't get off till 6, but I know at Manti they have like light poles where sometimes they put banners depending on the time of year. Any of the towns that have banners, I would like to somehow see if I can work with the city to, you know, certain times of year, maybe during September, during suicide awareness, have kindness banners put up, or when there's blank times, put banners up in the cities. Anywhere that the city can benefit from my help, and like I say, funding's not there yet, I'm just starting. I just wanted to touch base and make sure that there's nowhere that the cities don't want me to put signs. I understand that UDOT has rules, so I understand that there's certain places on the highway I can't put them. I don't intend on really getting in that, it seems too sticky, but anywhere in town, I just want to decorate the county. So, do you guys have any questions?
What's the boards made out of? I just looking at them. Are they going to hold up in the weather?
Yeah, they're just like your campaign signs. It's like corrugated plastic kind of thing. And yeah, they're definitely over time going to get worn out. Yeah. But they're pretty cheaply made so that they can withstand it for a while. But yeah, you would definitely have to rotate them out after so long.
I can, by looking at them from this angle, I couldn't tell it. It was just that.
Yeah, they're sturdy, but they're pretty cheaply made so that you can, and obviously if you did a lot of the same quote, it would be a lot cheaper production. That's one of the things I don't want to just smile. I want something that maybe hits you a little different than another sign does.
It's not meant to be permanent.
Yeah, it'll rotate.
But inside?
Inside they would be fine, but yeah, most I don't know if you've ever noticed them in Richfield. They have them along their main street. There's quite a few, but it's mostly in Richfield. They just barely did a kindness mural in Salina before we stopped. I would love to help with something like that. If there's a building that just kind of run down that we could paint a mural on with a big bright rainbow or something like that, anything like that. That's the kind of projects I want to do. So I mostly want to get the word out to the city. If there's places that I can help, you know, put stickers on, put signs on, and then, like I say, what my hope is to have a place in every town that's a distributor. I've had people come to me that say, I'll distribute your signs in my town. Then that way,
there's always a pile of signs in a town, so you don't have to go like to Manti to get a sign. I don't want anybody to have, I don't want it to be a burden for anyone to get to a sign, and I don't want it to cost anyone anything, so.
So you think like these would be more appropriate hanging down State Street or Main Street or things
anywhere.
Like
anywhere. Anywhere.
Front yards.
Yep, front yards. Yep, anywhere.
I think in any of our public buildings.
Yeah.
Any of them.
It'd be okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's one thing you can invest in that doesn't cost you a penny and pays so much dividends.
That's what I'm hoping.
Just kindness.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping.
Linda, do you have a website?
So I have an email and I'm working on my Facebook page. I'm just getting off the ground, but I am going to do a Facebook page. I was hoping to hit every city this month so I could kind of, with the logo contest, I will have that information. So when I bring her the flyer, I will have a Facebook page, and I do have an email address. That's the best part, said Todd. And it's just signedstampedkindness@gmail.com. And then I am working on, I always say it wrong, like an F-109C, whatever that is, like for a nonprofit, just so that I'm going to try and do this full force as far as, so I don't ever have to go backwards and try to do that. I know there's a lot of grants out there that I probably qualify for, but you have to be a nonprofit, so I am working on that as well, but that's not done so far right now. In Sevier, it's just an individual that takes the money and makes the sign. She says, I didn't go to that expense of, because it does take a lot of paperwork, but I would rather just do it now and take care of that up front. So I am working on that too. That's about it, but I will definitely give her my contact information if I can help anywhere. I sure love that. Or if you come up, I'm hoping to get with the schools. I really would like to do a video with Mount Pleasant, Gunnison, and Manti, do like a commercial that, you know, kind of states that these kids, even though they're rivals, they agree on being kind to everyone and kind of, you know, bring the youth into it as well. And not just your superstar athletes. I'd like to see just your regular kids, you know, be a part of this. So those are kind of my ideas. And yeah, I've got a lot of ideas. I just have to focus on one, but right now I'm just all over the place. But I just wanted to let you guys know what I'm working on so that if you guys need help with anything or where I'm going. And if it's okay if I bring the flyers next month, okay. And then that way too, no one has to try to, I'm going to try and do it to every city so no one has to worry about getting it to Manti. And yeah.
So what do you need right now? Do you need permission?
Just more your blessing. If there's anywhere you don't want the signs, if people were to start getting them, and then obviously, like Manti was asking if I'm asking for money. I'm not necessarily asking for money, but if you guys had a budget and you said you had $200 that you wanted some signs printed, then I would put them where Mount Pleasant City wanted. They wouldn't go to Manti. They would stay here. So definitely, if that was something you guys had a budget for and you wanted to do that, then that's when I started producing in the next month. That's what I would do. So that's kind of...
So where do we make personal donations?
Good question. Right now, because I'm not set up, I guess it would just be to me directly. But like I say, I've got a couple people have given me cash, but that's about all I've done so far. Like I say, I really want to come up with my logo, because then that's how we'll identify the signs, and then that's how people can contact me. And I'm not creative, so I'm really hoping that Sam Pete helps with their creativity and designing what they think is represents being the light and being kind. That's what I'm hoping.
You need to get that to schools and the art department.
Yep, that's why I'm going to have the flyers at all the cities, all the schools, and the county. And so I'm really hoping that I get a good turnout from kids. So mostly kids. As adults get a little shy by that, but I hope adults do too.
I think our high school up here has had a kindness program.
And they have a Hope Squad, too.
They have a Hope Squad, too, yeah.
The Hope Squad, that's who I'm hoping to get with in talking about the video and things like that.
Yeah. It was kind of fun after the ball game. I kind of stood around and watched the kids afterwards and how many kids, Manti and Lars Sandpete.
Yes.
I mean, the ball players and just kids just got together. Just,
you know. Yes. My son has a lot of friends here at Lars Sandpete. Yeah. And you know what? It's pretty amazing to see that. They've played against each other their entire lives, but they really can have, you know, that friendship as well. I think it's fantastic.
Well, what a great cause.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, so just let me know if there's
I just don't see, we have our lighting, Christmas lighting deal, if you'd like to be part of that.
I'd love to. When is
That's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I don't have the calendar in front of me to know the date.
And Manti's parade is usually the Friday.
They're the Friday, yes.
And I'm hoping to do the light parade in Manti. So, and that was kind of why I shopped for the contest being over and what I could do is, yeah, I could definitely, I'm hoping to have a website or Facebook or whatever, plus my, you know, my some production of signs. I would love to come be a part of it.
That's probably our next big city event would be that.
Awesome. No, I love that.
So
six, the day after Thanksgiving.
It's the 27th. It's the Saturday.
Oh, it's the Saturday.
So it's the Saturday, 27th.
Yeah, so can I check with you maybe?
Yeah. Yep.
I was also going to suggest Natalie does the newsletter that goes out for a bill every month.
Okay.
You have something that you want to go in there. She usually needs it the last week of the month, so she can have it ready.
So maybe if I had it ready by the end of this month,
you know, these signs, it reminds me, I don't know even who put it up, but I live on Fifth West, and it's a really busy street, and all of a sudden these signs popped up that says, drive like your kids live here, and that done more good for slowing people down than those flashing 25 mile an hour.
Yep, because it makes it relatable. The reminders
make a difference.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I was a beneficiary of it.
And my husband just puts up.
That's good to be blamed for. I've been blamed for a lot of things. Yeah.
I really appreciate you guys, and I will definitely be talking to you.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
They're both double-sided, so we have different message on both sides. I'm trying to meet him.
Did everybody here get a chance to see him?
Another other value.
So these are some from Richville that they gave me for
Be Kind.
They call them teaser signs.
So you want more new logos?
I want to do. I've got like 30 quotes that I've kind of found myself, and I actually, a friend of mine is an LCSW, a licensed social worker, and I've asked her to kind of make sure that they're appropriate too, that they're not something that's maybe gonna do the opposite, that's gonna make you feel worse. So, like I say, I'm no expert. I just want.
Sounds like you've covered all your bases.
I'm trying, and I have talked to Nan at the school, and she's all on board to, you know, help me with the school. They've been doing a little more than like us in the public have done, but. An interesting fact is I know of 6 suicides in the last, my son died in April, I know 6 since April, and every one of them have been in the 20s. Mm-hmm. So the 20-year-olds are high risk, and they're not necessarily in school, so that's why I know the schools are doing a lot of things, but in the community itself, that's where I don't know exactly what to do. But you also can't help someone that doesn't want help, and so there's a fine line. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good cause. Yeah. More on that. Yep. Remind us all to be better. Next on our agenda, Track 89.
Track 89. Can we take one of these and hand them down, please?
I'm George Jones, with my partner David Grove over here.
Hello, and thank you for what you're doing.
Hello.
We're here representing Track 89 North, and to a little extent south. The better the north does, the better the south does, too. Anyway, before I get started here, a couple of ladies here, I'd like to introduce Felicia Spencer and Sierra Massey. They'd like to make a few comments before we start, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Can you just come up?
Sure, they can probably hear you better, especially if you're over there, because it kind of halfway in between everybody.
You gotta talk loud too.
Hi. Where I work at the coffee depot, there's those line of cars, the train cars, and it goes into the heritage, the Mormon Pioneer Heritage in this area. And with that park being next to it and the walking trail around it, it's created quite a bit of business. Been pretty busy, and has come to my knowledge that some people want to get rid of the train cars because it blocks from looking at the park. I bring my son there a lot. I think that the train cars separate the park from the drive parking lot and that main road, the highway. So I feel safer that they're there, and the train cars, they're bed and breakfast, and the windows face right at the park, so I don't really think that it's getting missed. That's not going to be good. We both work there at the depot, as Barry says, but then we're also both parents to elementary school students, and honestly, I don't really feel like I want people from the road watching my child while she's playing. That's kind of creepy to me. I don't think that they need to. Most towns don't have their park on a main road. Most towns, like in Ephraim, you have to go all the way down to get to their park. They have several, but you have to go off the beaten path. They're not going on Main Street to find their park. Same thing in Salina, same thing in Manti. Everywhere I've lived in Stamp Deep, and I lived here for 11 years, moved to Wyoming underneath that, and I haven't ever seen a park on the main road. I don't think it's safe to have that visibility there all the time. So I think train cars help in that sense, but also as far as business, guys, we're bringing in so many tourists and so many people are coming in. They're telling us like, hey, I came for this and I came because I wanted to check it out. And then you guys have all this info, so we thought we'd stop by. And so it's been excellent as far as the information center side goes. And it's also helped with safety. We don't have kids running across all the time in that parking lot anymore. A lot of time we did, and that was kind of sketchy in the spring before they really got going. And now that it's busy over there and train cars, it doesn't happen. So I take it for what it's worth, but I feel like for us, that's what we've seen, and we've seen a benefit having you share you. So.
Thank you.
Well, as you guys know, what we're here to try to get is requests on putting down a locomotive in front of them, the train cars that are already exist down there. We did a little bit of work down there to get the track ready to go. Probably, maybe we jumped the gun here, but I thought we had everybody's blessing when I went down there and did that work. But anyhow, the locomotive would, I think, make that train look like it's a complete train going out of town. The railroad has a lot of historical value down here, and I think that locomotive will add to it. There's, I guess what we're just trying to find out, everything we said we were going to do, in my mind, when we did, and if there was something we didn't do, maybe if you'll tell us what it was, we'll do that. I think that there's a lot of positive things we did that we went down there, for instance, when we took the place over, we went down there, we did a lot of work, fixed up the depot, spent a lot of money doing that. We put in a lot of landscaping. We're trying to get this thing fixed up so it looks beautiful, and it is an asset to the city. So, I don't know, I'll take questions or comments from anybody about...
I just think you did everything. I mean, everything went through. I think there were just a little hiccup as far as it was in a CDRA meeting when they actually made the vote, which is a council meeting. So that's the difference.
That's the biggest problem.
Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, everything was done and what we talked about. I don't see any...
How much land then did you actually need? Because I know there was a little bit...
10 feet, exactly what we dug out is what we need. 10 by 45. The deck can go to the, we get a model locomotive that I brought with me.
Do you have a train track at home? I was going to say, you probably do.
We have it close to the backyard with cotton shoes.
In his backyard?
I had a caboose in my backyard at one time, and I used it for a guest house, and I had people come out from all of the United States stay in it. I had people from New York, Ohio, all over the place. Anyway, I'm going to get this locomotive out here if I can figure out how to get it out of the box. And I apologize, this is not a Rio Grande locomotive. Western Pacific, but the one I'm bringing is going to be a Rio Grande. Now, as you can see, there's a doorway right here. We've put that deck down here on the center of the car, and in between the car is where we make the entryway into the car. So the land that we currently own would hold the deck. So we don't need land for the deck. We only need land for the car, the train itself.
Are you going to try and attach it, or will it be a little bit of distance between what's already out there then?
No, I'll hook it right to it. It'll be hooked right to it. The two drawbars will hook together. That will leave me about 3 feet, maybe 4 feet space to walk in there.
I like that better because I think it'd make it look more.
I don't want to cut the car up. I want to protect the integrity of that locomotive. Yeah. And what I found too, like down south with the cabooses, where there were spots where the door didn't make, for instance, you need a 36 inch doorway to go into it. And I got variables, the county gave them to me. I told them, look, I don't want to cut this car up. And I may need to do that here, but if I can't do that, I'll cut that doorway.
So this doorway is not wide enough, is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't think it, because I think it's 30 inches.
Oh, 30 inches.
So, I guess I need to know from you guys what I got to do next. Question.
So, I've heard a lot about it. It sounded exciting if I was a child to play on it. Is this going to be part of a hotel room also, or is it only for play?
It's a hotel room. We're going to fix it up. We are going to, up there where all the controls are, where the engineer runs the locomotive.
That's open.
All of that will be left intact. Somebody that rents the room will be able to go in, big kid, little kid, whatever, and go up there and
pretend
like they're running the train.
Okay, so my thought was on the safety of a child playing in the train. Like right now you have the baseball back fence, and most children will be playing at the playground on the other side of that, and then the train's west of it. And of course those are hotel rooms. If the
if the invitation to play with those controls is open, where is the safety?
No, it'll be just only if you rent the, if you rent the car.
If they rent the engine?
Yes.
The hotel room they could have?
Yes.
Sure. Now I see your vision. Okay, thank you.
The first rule in newspapers is the reporter doesn't become the news, so I'm going to put my hat on as the Main Street Committee Chairman. And I can tell you that when we built the arena, the biggest challenge we ever faced was with the amount of motel rooms here in the town. And that hasn't changed that much. But these rooms and that development make a significant contribution for us to be able to house people who come to events at the arena. And we really think it's a win-win to have that thing look completed. I think it'll help them attract more people to their facility there. And anything that we can do to enhance the number of rooms for the benefit of that arena, I think is a great benefit to the city.
Thank you.
George, the only question that I didn't think of last meeting, I was just kind of curious of, is I'm not sure, how does the windows, I'm not familiar with the windows, actually, we had some issues with the fire code windows out there. Is there, I guess, is there windows in these locomotives that we could make into a fire window?
We could modify them to whatever extent we have to.
Right.
But we want to leave it as close to original as we can.
Right. That was my only thought.
Can we do it? Yes.
So, I didn't know, that was just my only thought.
Can you do them as metal? So like the engine being all metal there, can you just do a metal part that they can open and still meet fire code?
I don't think it is. I'd have to look into the code, but I don't know that it necessarily states that it has to be glass. It just has to be meet a set opening.
That's what I thought. It could be anything as long as it met that opening, but I wasn't sure.
It just has to meet that opening to be able to live.
Yeah, so it could be like a metal door panel that would just open.
You may be able to just hinge something. I don't know.
I have a question for you in that regard. Looking at the locomotive,
mm-hmm.
I come into the back, and if I leave these doors where they're functional, mm-hmm. does that help us?
It may, yes. So, because you may, if the rooms are in here and this has this extra exit, because if you only have one exit, then that's where it throws your hiccups into it. So,
I wound up down south. They wouldn't. I never got out of doing a two exit thing. I had to have a window, or I had to have two doors.
Yeah. So, if these doors are functional as an exit, yes.
They're both. So. Yeah, both the doors on the locomotive that I'm getting, the whole locomotive is functional. Okay. There's actually a door here too. You see that one?
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm not familiar with it, so I don't know. But yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is F7 unit. I'm actually getting F9. And F9 is a little, the only difference in one's a little bit longer.
Okay.
And I'm getting the longer one.
The picture shows the ladder on underneath those doors too.
Yeah.
And it's.
Well, my opinion, for whatever it's worth, it just puts the finishing touches on the train. I said my opinion is it puts the finishing touches on your train.
Well, and I think so too.
I think that was the consensus of the council, if I remember right. Maybe we did jump the gun in the meeting where we kind of all give them the nod to go ahead. I think, in my opinion, when we did that, I knew there was still some details to work out and a few things. I think that was just maybe the preliminary. Mostly the preliminary approval to move forward with it. So appreciate what these guys have done. I would, if there's no other discussion, I make the motion to approve the.
This is the one in Montana where somebody rented it and that's what kid they're doing up there.
Oh, yeah.
Where's this one at?
Montana.
Oh, this is the same picture.
Yeah. It's the only other one in the country that's
Oh, that's the other thing, that's pretty unique to have them.
And the engine.
I mean, to have a train, car, hotel, that's pretty unique.
Wow.
There are ready to come from all over the country coming to that.
Yeah.
So look it up on Airbnb.com and then they'll come specifically to stay there.
Well, I can be corrected on this, but I think we had people there in down south this summer from 9 different countries.
Want to circulate those out around?
Well, I'm going to put you up and I'll send you this, nobody else has anything else, but I need to just run the board with you.
I think some of the concerns you have will come with time.
Yeah, well, knowing the doors and stuff, you know, function like that.
Yeah.
They're a little bit different from actual box cars, so that makes more sense.
I do have one question. So the fence, that fence to the east of all of the others. And right now, we're right where the tennis courts are, so that's the fence there. You feel like we need a fence on the east side anywhere there?
A shower or something?
I think that's so.
I don't know that I got it. Sure is.
I would say that if you guys think we need it, we'd probably be willing to build it.
Yeah. I guess the other one was.
I think it's hard to let go of it.
Like ball on that side.
Pass them out.
Yeah, because you can still actually walk to.
Paul, take them out.
That wouldn't be a big issue because there wouldn't be the games going on over there like there is on the ball fields.
That's kind of nice to walk up and get close to.
Yeah, I online owners that ask what's the value of the additional land needed and how will it be paid for? Is it similar to the soccer field?
Yeah, it is similar to that deal because what we committed to do is you guys will get $14,000 and you guys can put that towards the park. I think we talked about.
Yeah, for 10 foot by 45, right?
Yeah, 10 by 45 or 46. 46, 10 by 46. And the heritage area is putting in 10,000 and you're putting in 4. Four, what you're getting 14,000 to however you, how you decide where to spend it.
There's a little town in Wyoming, Douglas, Wyoming. They've got a couple locomotives there, and they're fascinating. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, I've been up there. I don't know where you're talking about.
I should have seen it.
Did you make a motion, or Justin?
I did.
No, second the motion. We move forward.
Or Sam. Sam did too.
Whichever one.
Okay.
Sam seconded it? Okay.
So we need to make the motion to move ahead with Track 89 and selling, letting them purchase a 10 by 46 piece of land to complete the train by putting an engine on front. The motion was made by Justin and seconded by Sam or Sam. So, that sound right on the motion?
And then there's the $14,000 donation.
Yeah.
You might want to put the amount on there.
In exchange for the $14,000.
Yeah.
$14,000 jelly beans.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, we ought to put a clause there what we're going to do with it.
Use it in the park.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That will be used in the park.
Park it for the park, McKinney.
That sounds like we're just paying you guys on.
we've applied for a grant to put new restrooms.
Hey, that would cost some picnic tables too.
We're hoping to be able to spruce that park up. So, roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
If you like him, but you won't feel bad if we leave, will you?
No, we understand.
Okay.
I wouldn't stay either if I didn't have to.
I just got one question for you, George.
Yes, sir.
Every time we drive by that, my son looks over there and wants to know when the train's going to show up. Do you have a time frame for when you want to move this locomotive into town?
I'm assuming if you guys pass this motion.
It's passed.
It's passed. All right, I'm assuming I can go put track down there now, right?
Yeah.
And I talked to my locomotive guy yesterday. He says he ran, I got the, you've seen the frames for the trucks. I call trucks, they're your trucks. So we got the frames down there. He's going to go get the wheels tomorrow. He told me I've got to go up to Boise, get them. He'll bring me the wheels. And then the locomotive, we were going to get one out of California, and then he found the one that's 5 feet longer in Illinois. And it's not left Illinois. And as soon as he gets it out of here, I can't really give you a date. I don't know, but as soon as I get it, I'm going to put it down.
Okay. He's just been watching. Every day he watches for it.
He's excited.
Well.
He's going to make you rent it so you can go run the controls.
Oh, yeah, we'll be renting it.
I didn't bother to talk to the bar. But, the guy that got the 5 foot longer locomotive has one in Ogden right now. This one, 5 feet shorter than the one I can get. And 5 feet is, it's significant to us.
Oh, yeah, the bathroom and bedrooms, that's a lot of space.
So we're going to try to hang out long enough that we hopefully we get the one in Illinois. If we don't, there's already one up in Ogden that's buried in a training yard. Which means they've got one called buried in a training yard. These are other trains, other cars that are ahead of it and behind it. So they have to pull all the cars out, get the locomotive out, and we put it on a truck. All we want is the frame. All we're getting is the shell. The traction motors, the generators, the other guy that's working with us, he gets all that stuff. So he gets what he wants and we get what we want.
Want to show them what looks like?
Well, I think they know it.
Well, you these guys don't. That's what we got these for. I know you. I had to go to Salt Lake to get them yesterday.
You better use them, huh?
Today, so.
These are tracks. We put tracks down under them. I'm not going to do that part right now. This wasn't looking. It's going the other way.
Yeah. Facing south. Yeah, it's a southbound train.
Kevin said I built it backwards.
It's all
headed north. At the time, I didn't know I was ever going to get a locomotive.
But that's great.
If I would have done, I think I would have built it the other way.
Yeah, well.
If any of you or your advisors want to tour the inside of the cars because you haven't seen them, just give us a call. We'll arrange a special tour, maybe even a sandwich at the coffee. For sure you need to see the inside if you have. They're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of us have seen the inside.
Yeah.
Is this exciting?
Yep, yep. Thank you.
Not for me.
They said it.
Okay, pass them down so everybody signs for Rondi has to go too. Yeah, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't forget them. Well, we had a break for a second.
Let's see.
Yep, next item is discussion possible action on the deer issue in the city, whether archery is allowed or in the city limits or not. Kevin's here to tell us a little bit about what we can do and what we can't do. And thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Did you need this clipping here, George? I got the original. I've actually got one of those in my house.
Sam got that one signed.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's a new one.
So this is an issue that I've been doing some research on. We spoke about the deer, the archery. I spoke to the mayor. Done quite a bit of research. I think it's a problem that we can address without hurting some of the concerns that have been expressed by some of you, for example, like archery, like legitimate archery club or whatever, right? So basically, if you wouldn't mind, Councilman Kiesel, kind of just giving me a little bit of rundown of what your concerns were, just for the record.
Well, I had several calls from people in town, and one in particular in the west part of town. There was a deer that was wounded, and the young man was chasing the deer through the yard, and he flung another arrow at it, and his wife was out back working at the time on some plants. And that deer that went through the yard with blood on their lawn chairs, stopped on the cement, left a big pool of blood on the cement in their yard, and just sprinkled up yard with blood. And she was traumatized. She was upset. And so he called me several times. He says, I want to stop today. He said, they've been coming through, not only are they trespassing into our yard, I guess he chased this deer across from down on Fifth West up through several yards. And I don't know the police report, I don't know, haven't heard it, but we did have an officer on it. And I haven't talked to him to see what happened there. But there was two others that called, and they had the same thing. Kids going through the yards with bulls, standing up in the back of the truck, going up and down the streets, and shooting from the back of the truck.
I think one the police officer was called on was actually a different one than the ones that the people called you on.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you have a couple different issues, right? You have trespassing, which, regardless of what you wanted to do with an archery ordinance, if you will, that's going to be, trespassing's trespassing, so whether you enacted an ordinance or not, that's going to stand regardless, right? So if somebody doesn't have permission, whether it's archery, whether it's a sling and a rock, if somebody doesn't have permission to be on your property, they don't have your permission to be on your property. So you have multiple things at play kind of in this issue. The other question is, what do you guys want to do, if anything, about enacting an archery ordinance similar that you would to a firearms ordinance? So for example, with a firearm, you can't shoot within 600 feet of a building, and you know, there's some other restrictions. There are a lot of cities, especially similar to Mount Pleasant in size and growth and things like that, that they have enacted ordinances that limit one's ability to shoot archery within city limits. So the question would be, do you want to explore that further, go through that ordinance process, and have an ordinance there that would have exemptions, for example, if a high school had an archery club or something of that nature?
We have a city club that shoots in the rec center most all winter.
So you would, if you decided you wanted to do an ordinance that prohibits just general people being able to shoot archery within city limits, you would write into that specific ordinance, you know, these are the following exceptions, which one would be any city-sponsored activity. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't think they're city-sponsored per se, but
it's a club.
It's a club, but...
It's a club, but...
They're using the city facility.
Yeah, they're using the city facility, but...
Well, I have some concerns, because we're up in Faraday, up there for the 24th, and I had my son-in-law's sister walked over to her car to get a blanket out of the trunk. She just slammed the trunk and an arrow came embedded in the trunk of the car. I mean, she's standing right there. And that was somebody a block away, young boys, shooting bows, and that one of the kids had took the bow and see how far it'd go. So there's a lot of concerns.
Right.
And I, as far as hunting goes, I'm adamant on no hunting in city property.
City limits at all?
Yeah, in city limits at all, no hunting. And as far as archery clubs go, I would say if they've got ample backstop.
Well, that's what we would write into the ordinance. It would be a specific amount of, yeah.
Because I do know a few, you know, close neighbor, given anything like that, to do shoot in their backyards, and they've always done it safely. I've never seen any arrows go clean, but they've always had a good backstop. So, I mean, one hand, you don't want to limit, in my opinion, you don't want to limit people like that are being respectful versus the ones that are out just...
Exactly.
When you, the way a lot of them do it is through like a permitting process, so they just go similar to a lot of other city compliance stuff. So if somebody wanted to shoot archery, they would just come, and then Jim or one of his guys would just go check to see if it meets the requirements, make sure that it's safe. That's how most of them have done it. And then that way, it doesn't inhibit somebody, you know, you still have that rural character of target shooting and things like that, but they're having to do it in a way that it's not just flinging arrows and flunking by and obviously the avoiding the hunting within city limits.
I think we need to have something also in there that they are liable for anything if they're doing it. Then it could be traced back to where they are, they're liable for anything.
Well, that's part of the reason why I think you would do an ordinance. For my job, one of my main jobs as the city attorney is to protect the city from liability, right? Yeah. And so when you have an ordinance like this, it kind of puts people per se on notice that look, you, even if you're compliant and you're, you know, met all the requirements and you have the safe backstops, the city's going to be protected. You know, because accidents still do happen despite everybody's best intentions. If it were to happen, my job is to protect the city from that liability, and we've done our due diligence through the ordinance, through the permit or whatever you want to call it, just to make sure it's done safe. There still can be accidents, but at least any prospective lawsuits would know that the city had done its due diligence. And so that's kind of why, in speaking with both of you, why I kind of wanted to bring it up today in council meeting. And if that's something you guys want me to explore further, then obviously I'll finish that out. I'll send out kind of a proposal and we can go from there.
Kevin, so in thinking through this, if we have a system where one of our employees, like the police, are going out and saying, yeah, this is safe, and something happens after that inspection is made, doesn't that make the city even more liable?
No. And so what it's not necessarily saying, it's not saying that it's safe, it's saying that it's compliant with the city code.
It meets some requirements.
Yeah. So no, it doesn't. It'd be similar to a lot of other safety type inspections, you know. If you go in and you do a building inspection, you're not saying that, well, this building's gonna be good no matter what.
Right.
But it's compliant with city code. So it'd be pretty similar to like a building permit.
So basically on that ordinance, you'd have to have a certain size backstop or something like that.
Yeah, but I'm in the process of chasing that down. When I write ordinances like that, I try to find cities that are similar to Mount Pleasant in size, character, growth, that kind of stuff. It doesn't do a whole lot of good. When I was doing the research for this, you know, Salt Lake does have an ordinance like this, but I don't generally like to copy their ordinances.
Right.
So. That's kind of where we're at with that. If you want me to proceed forward, Mayor, I'll go ahead and do that and give a couple different options and what different cities are doing and whatnot.
There was some, I'd like to get if the rest of the councilmen are on board with me to prohibit hunting within the city limit.
That can be included in the ordinance.
Yeah.
We got to do something with the deer in the city, though. They're getting terrible.
Yeah.
We got to start trapping them or something, too.
Yeah.
Doesn't that fall back to fishing game?
No.
No?
What do we do? We have to get into a contract with Fishing Game.
Yeah.
So we have to do the whole.
But we have to do all the work on it too.
Yeah. So I mean,
we got double-edged sword there.
Yeah. I haven't had anybody complain about the deer as far as them being in the city and doing what. I haven't had anybody complain about that.
I've got five in my backyard. I'd like to get rid of.
Yeah. A lot of them actually like the fact they moved to Royal, Utah, and they got deer in their backyard. I've had that. They've come to me about that, too.
It is a little bit of a touchy subject.
It is.
It's probably about half and half.
Yeah, probably.
There's a lot of people I've had a lot of trees lost from them.
I know I don't like them in my backyard. I had one put his head down and come at me.
So,
yeah, I went out to protect my dog.
The predators follow them into town, too. You know, and then you start seeing cougars in town. And,
Well, the thing I've noticed with the deer lately is they're chasing the dogs. Yeah. They've got so used to the dogs now, they're chasing dogs. So it's only a matter of time what scares me until they get a kid.
Yeah. So I don't know how we have a lot. How do we get rid of them?
We'll get a few of the stray dogs around.
Or it can be a deer trapper.
Well, I'm surprised there isn't somebody that's already stepped forward.
You can make it.
It eliminates deer that can do it safely.
It's very expensive. Very expensive. A company will come in, but it's very expensive. The city has to pay for it.
Well, you get rid of one, two more will come back.
So that's something, that's from what I understand, is it's pretty costly.
It is pretty costly. And then you got the same issue too, because what they do is they let them come in with crossbows and they're professional hunters, but you still got the same issue, because occasionally once in a while one will get away and then it runs through somebody's yard that's wounded. Even though they are professional hunters, it still does happen. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough one.
But I think, yeah, that's going to be a separate issue. Other than you can put in there, you know, hunting as a part of the general archery ordinance, but the deer, I know you guys aren't the only ones going through that mess. I know Manti went through it, a year or two ago. And
so what was the conclusion there? What did they end up doing?
With regard to Manti, I don't recall.
They pushed through with theirs, but I think, didn't they put it on the poll and they voted on it or something and passed it or something?
It's quite a process to get it approved. You have to have a fishing game count. The city has to have $1 million liability insurance for it. And basically, I forget what it was for the shooters to come, but it was expensive.
One night.
And then Manti brought in traps.
Oh.
And they trapped two or three.
They shoot.
Yeah, they shoot them. But they get them in the trap, then they haul them off and take care of them, and then the meat is given to somebody in the city that applies.
They shoot them in the city.
Huh?
They'll shoot them in the city.
No. They have the public works guys take them out and keep them in the traps and then shoot them.
We talked about donating meat here, but see, they said the deer here in our town in Logan got disease, so you can't.
Manti don't have a permit system, so the people
don't. So fire and deer catching.
The fishing game will let you. At that time, a year ago, when I talked to Manti got the traps from the fishing game, and they were the fishing game's traps.
The public works guys actually did that?
Yes.
Yes. Like you say, you can spend a lot of money getting them out of here.
Yes, and they'll be back.
They'll be back.
I've got to fix them.
But I agree on the hunting thing. I think it really needs
Paul?
Mike, Kevin, if a deer happened to hurt a kid, would the city be like in the city limits?
So the answer to that is no, but it wouldn't stop somebody necessarily from suing. Does that make sense? So there's a difference between suing and winning and suing.
Just to sue.
Yeah, because there's in my experience here, the county, everywhere, is there are a certain segment of the population that want to sue, whether they win or they don't, and so that's kind of the case there. They wouldn't win due to the government, you know, Immunities Act and whatnot, and the fact that we don't control a wild animal, and there's pretty clear case law out there, so I feel pretty good, but it's still an issue that probably needs to be addressed one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, I myself, I think we pursue the ordinance to stop the hunting and that, and because we're not going to get rid of the deer. That's part of rural Utah. Like I say, you get rid of two and ten will be back. And it's just not going to happen. And so we need to pursue and do what we can to take care of the citizens.
And I think you're all on the same page as far as the archery ordinance and just kind of having a standard and, you know, not preventing people necessarily from doing it responsibly, but what we don't want are, you know, I have a 13-year-old and I know what 13-year-olds are like, and they're not quite as responsible as, you know, what 35 are capable of.
But yet you want your kid living in Utah to have that experience.
Right, exactly. And so that's the tough situation. In a way that I think addresses the issue in a responsible way. So I'll get on that then. Okay. We'll get something
back. I think that's the best we can do.
Just a suggestion I have, Kevin, is maybe the neighbor.
I think we'd spend a lot of money getting rid of these suckers. Maybe right
get permission to have this.
I don't know how you're going
to
get
adjacent to their property.
Yeah.
I really don't.
If I had, you know, had it someone shooting towards my lot. I'd want to know about it.
Lot size, they have to have to be able to.
Yeah, you want a lot size, might be a good, because there may be something on that as far.
Most of them do have a lot requirement. So if you've got, you know, 1/10 of an acre, you're not.
You're not going to be shooting.
Yeah. You're not setting up.
Bunker my fences.
System.
All right.
But I do like the notification for neighbors. I think that's something we could do.
Maybe they have to give consent.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. So we can do that. Awesome. I'll get that done.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any public?
Just take the throw that signed on it, so. I don't think you've got anybody money to give that work to.
I'd like to have Jay report on watering the trees. Are you done doing that in your part?
Yeah, he's gonna just do a little follow-up.
All right. Okay, sounds good. So we'll move on to our next one, the elected official opening of Public Meeting Acts training.
All right, it's that time of year again. Everybody's favorite time of year.
They all swear it just happened not very long.
I could have swore it was just in February. I need to be excused for this. Okay.
Okay, so this is just our annual training. That's the Open and Public Meetings Act. Obviously, the purpose of the policy is that anybody that's an elected official engages in the business of the public. Therefore, the default should be done openly, right? So the default should always be that the meetings are open, the deliberations are conducted in open, expenditure of public funds are done in the open. Notice. So the minimum notice is 24 hours in advance unless there's an emergency. We'll cover that. At a minimum, it has to be posted to 2 prescribed places, has to include an agenda. 2 of the places for notice included are the Utah Public Notice website, utah.gov. Citizens can receive automatic updates if they want, and that becomes like a central repository. You can post it in a newspaper of general circulation. What that basically means, in San Pete County, we have the Pyramid, the one on the south end of the county, I can't remember what they call that.
Messenger.
The Gazette or something.
It's all the Messenger now.
They bought Gus now. Yeah, so it has to be published in a newspaper of general circulation. You have to publish an annual meeting schedule. So that's just outlined, and this is obviously subject to change because things come up. But you need to do your best to stick to that agenda. And it's required for public bodies that hold regular meetings. It has to be published in the same manners for the meetings. So the public notice website, the newspaper of general circulation. So that's the annual meeting schedule. Public bodies are encouraged to develop and use additional electronic means to provide notice of their meetings. So Facebook pages, Instagram, anything else that you guys want to use. Those are not required, but you know, the idea is the more information you can get out, especially to those younger groups, age groups tend to use Facebook more, Instagram even, Snapchat, anything you want to use. Those aren't required, you can use them. The point is to provide actual notice to members of the public. So you post on your website, on your door if you have one, on your social media, all of those things. Your notice must include an agenda, which includes date, time, and place, and or electronic instructions. The agenda, now this is key here, and this is something that the Attorney General's Office has been paying close attention to. Your agenda has to state with reasonable specificity to notify the public as the topics to be considered at the meeting. So you can't just put on their budget. But if you were talking about an appropriation related to the train car, you would put on the agenda, you know, with specificity so that somebody can be walking by on their afternoon walk and they look at the agenda and they go, oh, they're going to be talking about appropriating some money for a train car. So it has to be done with enough specificity that somebody that could be walking by would know what that particular agenda item is. So each and every one. Reasonable specificity includes review of possible decision on 2021 proposed sport changes for the recreation district. That's just an example. You can hyperlink your agenda where possible so that the public can find staff reports, web pages, and any other materials relevant to the agenda item. The location, it may be electronic if the public is able to participate. Again, it falls back. It's kind of the common sense law, it really is. And you guys usually do a good job of erring on the side of caution, I would say, over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, for quite a while now. It's always better to err on the side of caution. Keep things open, you know, avoid going into closed session unless absolutely necessary. But try to get the public to participate. If you're going to first pass a resolution or rule, or one that's governing the use of electronic meetings, you may dispense with an anchor location if the chair makes a written determination every 30 days about the substantial risk to the health, safety of those who may be present with specific facts and data. So if you're going to have an electronic meeting, you stop at that anchor location. Most often the anchor location is going to be here or, you know, some other city office. Conduct of the meetings, open and closed. Presumptively, meetings are open to the public. A meeting is the convening of a public body with a quorum present, including a workshop or an executive session, for the purpose of discussing and receiving comments from the public about or acting upon a matter over which the public body has jurisdiction or advisory power. So, especially if it involves money, you're going to have a public meeting. That one's pretty easy to fall back on. But basically, if you're going to be conducting any of the public's business, making any kind of decisions through vote or any other binding matter, you're going to want to do so in an open and public meeting.
Kevin?
Yes.
Is there any monetary cap where you don't have to?
Nope.
Anytime there's money involved, it's public?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Any kind of, even if it's a token amount, like a penny. If the public funds are being discussed and possibly expended, you better have it be in an open meeting.
Okay.
What kind of meetings need to be noticed? So traditional meetings like tonight, workshops, executive sessions, unless closed per the statute. So, you know, discussing character and competency, I'll get into some of those. Employment, security measures, things like that, you can go into executive session. Site visits and traveling tours. Those are all meetings. They all must be noticed. What is not a meeting? A meeting does not mean a chance gathering or a social gathering. What is a quorum? A quorum means a simple majority of the membership of the public body. A quorum does not include a meeting of two elected officials by themselves when no action, either formal or informal, is taken. Discussing during a meeting. So, a group or an individual text comments to one another, is that a meeting?
No.
No, it's not. What about email deliberations?
Nope.
No. It may be subject to grammar law. Now keep that in mind. Your communications and things like that are still going to be subject to public scrutiny, but it's through a different law, not necessarily the Open and Public Meetings Act.
So even if it involves more than two members of the council, if you're having some discussion through email, that is not considered a meeting, is that what you're
saying? Correct. That's not a public meeting, but it very well could be and likely would be subject to grammar law.
Okay.
So if somebody said, hey, I want a grammar law of all emails where discussing the train car, you know, then at that point, that's when the public would become aware of those types of things. It's always best to bring those stuff up when you discuss it in a public meeting anyway, but that in and of itself does not constitute a public
meeting. So I have a question on that. If it's subject to grammar, what's the requirement to keep those on the show or on your computer? What if a lot of times I just use my regular picture cell phone to that?
And that becomes tricky. It would depend. But yeah, your personal phone, what they would do is they would have somebody go through and separate out, you know, what would be personal communications, what would be public communications.
Even if those are deleted or whatever, you could still capture those through the provider.
Yeah.
There's also something that I learned in one meeting that we can add on to our thing that gives the time limit of how long you have to keep those once they're gone. They're not subject to grandma. So.
Let's see. So discussing things outside of a meeting, it's okay to forward pertinent information to one another. You know, if, for example, I send something to the mayor regarding this deer ordinance, he can send, you know, that to each of you, and you guys can kind of discuss that type of stuff. But if you're going to actually enact the ordinance, it has to be done in an open meeting, allow for public comment and discussion and things of that nature. Emergency meetings. So emergency meeting, the most common type would be like an earthquake or some sort of natural disaster. Then at that point, you can hold that emergency public meeting, you know, to declare a disaster, things of that nature. Then you're not subject to the same notice requirements. But if possible, obviously, it's always better to notice those types of meetings. Okay, closed meetings. So you can notice a closed meeting in advance, or you can go into a closed meeting from an open meeting following procedure, taking a vote, and record keeping. So procedure for closing a meeting. A quorum must be present. A motion to close the meeting must be made, naming the specific statutory reason for closure. A roll call vote must be taken. Two-thirds of the body must approve the closed meeting. You must observe appropriate record-keeping, recording, and affidavits if required. A motion to adjourn or return to the open meeting must be made with roll call vote. So that's the procedure that has to be followed each and every time. It has to be a roll call vote. The reasons, you know, the most common reasons are just discuss pending litigation, employee performance issues, things of that nature. So the reasons are, like I just stated, litigation. So strategy session to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation. Personnel, decision of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. Property acquisition, so strategy sessions to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property. And then security, discussion regarding deployment of security personnel, devices, things like that. Like if you're putting up security cameras, obviously it makes sense that you would go into a closed meeting to kind of discuss that type of stuff, because you wouldn't want, you know, every burglar in the county's ears to perk up and like, okay, they're going to put them there. So that obviously makes sense. Recordings of closed meetings are protected records under grandma, so they may be later disclosed by a court order if challenged. What is forbidden during the closed meeting? You may not approve an ordinance, resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment. You may not interview a person to fill an elected position. You may not take final action. Final votes must be open and on the record. So even if, for example, you were discussing reasonably imminent litigation, you made the decision in the closed session that you were going to settle a particular case, you would still need to make that direction and that decision on the open record. The discussion can occur in the closed session. Same thing with if you decided you wanted to terminate an employee, you could discuss the reasons for that, but if you were going to actually terminate the employee, it would have to be done on the public record. Does that make sense? Okay, are there any meetings that must be closed? Nope, you never ever have to close a meeting. You can always do in an open and public meeting, conduct the public's business. The decision to close a meeting to the public is always discretionary, and the law does not require any meeting to be closed. Okay, records of the open meetings. Jeannie, what kind of records do we have to have?
For open meetings?
Yep.
We talked in the minutes. Yep. The recording, they only have to keep for 3 years, but the minutes are permanent.
Yep. Written minutes, date, time, and place, the members present and absent, the substance of all matters proposed, discussed, or decided, a record of each vote by individual members, the name of each person providing comment, information any member requests, and then you're going to have the recording in audio or video. Information provided by the public must be placed into the record. Written minutes, so the reasons for handling the closing meeting, or the closed meeting, any site visits, date, time, and place, members, things of that nature. The record-keeping deadlines have to be done within 3 days of the open meeting. You have to make the audio recording available to the public for listening. You make pending minutes available to the public within a reasonable time. You have to identify as unapproved. Within 3 days after approving minutes, make the approved minutes available to the public. The enforcement is done by the county attorney and the attorney general. Any party denied a right by the action taken, the court may order compliance and enjoin a violation, and the aggrieved party may recover attorney's fees. You guys have any questions? It's an exciting topic every year. The mayor, and you guys are usually pretty good about checking with me beforehand.
So on those site visits, I just had one question. As long as it's not a quorum, we're all right to go make a site visit, right?
Correct. The key is the quorum. And you can still even do, you know, a site visit with a quorum. You just have to make sure that it's done.
Posted and started at a public place like this and ended at a public place like this.
Yeah, and you can invite members to the public, members of the public where, you know, feasible. That's always a good thing. And then people, if they want to go to the site visit and it's something that they're able to do, then, you know, they can get that done. So that's our annual Open and Public Meetings Act training.
Okay.
The waiting is always, I know.
If we can remember well.
Can you get copies of that?
The
what you just read from?
Yeah, I can give her back on that. Yeah. Her and I, she contacts me about it almost every
meeting.
Yeah.
Every year.
she reaches out to me well in advance, so we don't get into problems.
Hey, this is what they're wanting to talk about.
Yeah. So she's pretty proactive that way, which is good. That saves you guys a lot of headaches down the road. So she's probably saved quite a few headaches.
Yep. Thank you.
So that's it for me as far as those things rather than the other issues. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Fire department.
No,
we got bids. We opened bids yesterday on trucks. So, like I said, the Pierce Company wants their truck's too big. It's 39 foot. We need a 30 foot truck. Quote come back for it, the bid come back for it, it's 107 foot ladder, 39 foot, 6 inches, basically a standard truck. It's available now, basically they use their demo, but their bid come back at $939,943. So the custom truck we were looking at that we got built, it's a 65 foot aerial, 30 foot, which is fitting our currently what we have. From Rosenbauer, the bid was $868,763. So, we're looking at probably 18 months to have it built. So,
to build the truck. Wow.
So, I will have to, we haven't accepted the bid yet till next meeting, but I'll have to, there'll be two or three times that we'll just have to do a out-of-state travel, because I'll have to fly back there. It's all covered through the company, though. They pay for room and board, the flight, and everything. You go back and do a pre-inspection or mid-inspection, then post-inspection. So, but it's all covered under that. So we just have to do like an out-of-state travel.
So is the truck you're getting going to fit in the building?
Yes.
It's a custom one.
The custom one, yeah. So.
Yeah, and the other company was willing to donate us $10,000 to add on, but...
60.
Was it how much?
60,000.
60,000?
But I don't think it would do enough to. Was it 60 or was it 10?
I thought it was only 10, but I might be wrong.
I can't remember.
That's what we questioned, if that'd even be enough to touch it.
No.
I don't think it would have, so that's kind of why. And I didn't want to order, I really don't want to buy a truck that ain't gonna fit in the station, so.
Right.
Is that, there's a reason why I'm asking this, is that type, what type, is that type two or type one?
They're type ones, it's an aerial, so it'll replace our existing ladder.
So type two is cheaper truck, is that?
Yeah, they have custom cabs and they have commercial cabs. A commercial cab, what we have now is our main structure rig. You're looking at around, just right now priced at around $300,000 for them. If you want it with a custom cab, which is more like a full-time, where they're the box style, it kind of looks more like a box style cab, they're ranging closer to $500,000 for a new one, so they're about $200,000 difference. They do the same thing, it's just preference. Ours has to have four-wheel drive, custom.
So the reason I'm asking is kind of, I guess, more education, because I'm working with Apple Valley, they're like, buying a truck, and they had type.
They have different types, so type two is, Fairview's got one, Spring City's got one, so what they've done with those is they kind of make those, where they can take them wildland and structure.
Yeah.
So they're kind of multi-use.
Like a hybrid.
Yeah, kind of a hybrid, so.
So they, I think they have budgeted $600,000 for something like that, so.
So they should, type two, if they had $600,000 budget, they should be well enough to get a pretty decent truck.
I know, that's kind of off topic, but I figured I'd ask you what you.
No. I think the ones that we bought, I think they were around three for the type two, depending on what you get. I mean, the bigger and the length, the more water carried, I mean, it goes, your prices just go up depending on all the options, but, so, but, I mean, it'll be a nice truck, so, just matter of taking time to get it here.
18 months.
18 months, if there's no hiccup along the way in 18 months. So.
Wow.
Other than that, everything's been good, we did our fire prevention last Friday at the elementary school, and that all went well, so kids seem to like that. Been good to get back in that and doing that. So.
Good. Okay, anything else on that? Public Works.
Well, we're getting excited about the snow. I got salt and cinders ordered. We're gonna wait to put plow on a little while still, unless we get a Logan.
Or Cedar City.
But, things are going good there. Trying to wrap up, we got a lot of our winterization done. Our sprinkler system, we missed one. The wagon wheel part's still running right now. But we'll get it shut off tomorrow, maybe not today.
So this 15th, right?
So we shut water off yesterday.
Due to the cold.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I got one sprinkler system still on, we'll get it off tomorrow. Start prepping, getting ready for winter. We got the tie-in done at the cemetery. And the main line fixed up. We should be ready to see that this spring. So everything's up and going there. They're working on cementing the little markers in. Doing a little cement pattern on each one of the markers so we can go get them all placed out there. We should be ready to plant that.
They got some lots sold in there?
Yeah.
A lot. Quite a few of them. Sandra's very nervous about getting those markers in case we have to marry somebody.
How many do you got left there? We're done. You got them all done? So they finished them up today. So hopefully we get them placed tomorrow. On the trees on State Street, Jay actually helped me out a lot. We talked after council. There's a list that he went to every address on State Street. And either talked to them or made contact or left a notification asking them to water their trees. And then Jay's been really good the last couple weeks at helping me water the tree. Had his truck and trailer down there with a couple cubes and a tank on it. And so we've got everything watered up the best we can.
Yeah.
And so we made some progress there.
So did the citizens that have trees in front of them, that they go out for that?
I'm gonna let Jay talk about that.
Hey, well, are you done?
Yeah, I'm all done, that's cool.
So, I was up by the well site the other day, and I know just a couple days ago, noticed there was water running. Is that an artesian up there, or what's the...
So we hit enough water, it became an artesian. See, I'll talk well with that.
That was a good sight to see water come out.
So we hit enough water there, it's actually flowing by itself.
That's good.
They're up there today, test pumping it. I don't know what the magic number was, I hadn't heard before.
That's a good thing.
Can I read Devin's?
Oh, maybe I'm still under...
No, you're fine. I just wanted to read what Devin, since we're talking the well, because I reached out to him yesterday. I was up there when they were drilling, when they hit the 400-foot mark. I was up there that night with the driller, and he was super excited because he'd left for the weekend and come back, and the water was coming out of the wellhead. Mm-hmm. So he said that was an excellent sign. And then I hadn't heard anything else, so I reached out to Devin yesterday. He said the fractured rock layer continued to close to the 500 feet. So that's the other thing. They hit the 340 feet where we was doing stock. The layers was just so... They decided that we ought to go deeper because it was showing signs of still being more water, and right, like we're starting on the top of a cavity that could really produce some water. So they actually went home for the weekend and come back with more pipe to go to the 500 feet. We started to get into some clay and rock layers. We stopped there at 500 feet. There appears to be a decent amount of water there. I'm pleasantly surprised that we've seen as much as we have. We will start test pumping today at the bottom of the casing, which is 240 feet, to get the data that we need for the well report and source protection plan. We won't know exactly what we can get out of the well before we have the production well completed. But from what we've seen, a target of 300 gallon a minute appears realistic. So he'll let me know after the test pumping's done, and we'll keep moving forward. In fact, the driller made a suggestion to me is dig down 15 foot at the edge of that well, drill into that wellhead, and he said that thing would flow out of there like crazy.
Really?
Because it's coming to the surface like it is. He says if you drop that down 15 feet and chase it down and hit your line, he says that baby's going to float a long time, and then if you ever had to, you'd come back and put the pump in it. So there's a good chance we may not even have to pump that one.
Wow.
It's looking that good. So.
Yeah, I want to move out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I can tell everybody the water's off then.
Yes.
Because I had no less than 5 or 6 yesterday. Carl asked me if they can drain the lines, and I said, well, I don't think until the 15th, but as with this cold weather, we might shut her down early. Because there was a couple that had drained, and they...
So everybody ought to open their faucets then.
Yeah, they ought to. That might ought to go out in the newsletter. They can...
We ought to probably have Natalie put that out on our webpage.
Not sure if they did
it all. Tomorrow.
I've seen it somewhere. It might have been in the newsletter.
I think it was in the newsletter.
It was in somewhere. I can't remember reading it.
Well, it's going to be shut off on the 15th, but we're shut off
a little bit. No, but she did include to make sure you open your drain and all that.
Yeah, but we could go ahead and post that.
We're off for the
season. We're off for the season, so we go ahead and open them and drain your systems.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave. I want to talk about your experience with the treatment.
First of all, I'd like to apologize to Colter and the council in general. What seemed like a pretty simple request to take the water truck and go water a few thirsty trees, it was a lot more than we ever realized. The problem being is that you couldn't release the water any faster than the ground could absorb it because it would just run from the gun and be no use. Between 500 north and 700 south, you have over 150 trees with nearly 800 to 1,000 gallons of water. We could water about anywhere from 6 to 7 trees a day. Average, it'd take about 4 hours to dump a load. One day, 6 hours because the ground was so hard, it just wouldn't absorb any faster. From the experience we had, my opinion is that if next year, if it's a drought year again, if we could somehow ask this, you know, give the citizens a little more leniency on water routes to water the curbside trees and hold them responsible, it's only a logical way to do it, I think. There's no way a water truck, unless you just hire a full-time person to run the water truck and water trees all summer long. I don't think it's a, I don't think it's a feasible thing, but again, I don't think the citizens, and I was one of them, realized what we were asking. And not because it's, it would be hard, if you only had a couple of dozen trees, it would be a big thing. You got a lot of trees out there.
How did most of the residents along there that you talked to, how did that go?
The sheet that we have every door down there written down, and most of them say positive. That just means they took it very positive. Some were very positive, but still very positive. We have one semi-negative comment, and it's loaded on there. It wasn't really that negative. Everybody was, overall, they were very positive, very happy to hear, very thankful to hear it. You know, I'm going to jump right on it. Now, I didn't see a lot of them jumping on it like I would like to. The Wasatch up at the gym, I don't know who's responsible for those, or the gym and the athletic club, or whatever it is up there.
It's Wasatch and the Ambulance Association.
Okay. I left the flyer, but in they were practicing, and I didn't know who to get a hold of there. I left the flyer, but I don't think anybody ever did anything. As they did,
Richard would be the one
that understands, but I don't know, unless there's some way you can legally hold people responsible to water. I mean, you're going to have to give them some added water right of some kind to do that in the drought. Otherwise, and there's a lot of trees out there. They died because of the drought, or they just died because they wanted to die. But there's a lot of dead trees.
There was some boar beetles that was coming through a few years back that was killing some trees. I didn't know that because we only had some in their trees and it killed a few of their trees. So.
Yeah, there's some of those trees on that's been dead for years.
Yeah.
It's not just the drought that got them this year.
Yeah. I think, isn't Bridger still over the ground maintenance?
Yeah.
You can't be able to reach out on those.
Yeah. But,
Jay, thank you for...
Yeah, thank you so much, Jay, for all you've done there. Yeah, I know you spend a lot of time.
Glad to do it. It was an education. Again, I want you guys to know we do apologize because we were frustrated at the city because they weren't doing it. Well, I don't think we realized... Well, I know we didn't realize what we were asking. You can't just take a water truck and flood a tree and flood the next one and flood the next one.
If it was that easy, it would have been an easy solution.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We had a good visit in the driveway, so.
Now these storms opened up 2 months earlier.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yep. Hopefully. Hopefully.
So, I guess we know it can be done, but it's a lot of work then.
I don't think...
You don't think it's practical?
No, it is not practical. You've got to get the citizens to help. That's my opinion. Now, maybe I was putting 275 gallons to the tree. Now, maybe that's overkill. I don't know whether it was enough. I figured extra wouldn't hurt them, but I don't know. I know that in 4 hours you could dump 275 gallons on a single tree and you come back and, you know, it didn't look that wet.
Yeah.
If you, you know, even as we were set up, like I said, we had three tanks, so we water about three trees at a time. Sometimes if they're small trees, we'd split the tanks up and get four trees. But, you know, even if you could get six trees a day divided into 150, I don't know what that goes, but that's a lot another time. And that didn't count loading and, you know, going back to refills.
Yeah, that's the worst, because you can't just wet them quick because it just runs off.
Yeah.
It's got to soak.
Well, and I think that was the thing that we didn't think about, you know, because I'm used to construction. I'm used to tanker and the side spout and spray bar or whatever. And no, it doesn't work that well. We're not watering the dusty road for trees.
No, thanks for your efforts. I'd like to hear a bit less, and then that input will be helpful if they face that problem again.
Absolutely, yeah.
Most of them, again, the citizens are very positive, you know, they, like you say, most of them, and a little note there, I just made short notes, but this is positive, or very positive, they were really excited. Positive's been, oh, great, you know, we can get some water on it. And I'd, you know, there was, I'd say 99.9% of them were extremely, well, positive about it, and thankful to hear they get water.
Well, they didn't even roll the pond, huh?
Diane?
Just had a comment, because I talked with a few people about the trees. I didn't do like what he did, but our trees are very old, and it would be nice to have someone that is an arborist come and recommend what we can do for old trees that need to be trimmed back. Sometimes you have to take them back a third, sometimes a lot more, and it stuns them for a year, but then they have a chance to revive for a little bit longer. But our trees are old, and they are dying for the summer. Taking them out someday.
Yeah, part of that again goes back to, is it our responsibility or is it the people that live along the street, because it should be their responsibility too.
That you'll have to decide there, but I think they were planted by the city, but I don't know if that's individual property or city property they're on.
It's actually state road property, but their law states that the owner adjacent to it is supposed to maintain it.
Because like I have the pharmacy on the corner, and I didn't plant those trees, they were put underneath the cement.
Yeah, those ones.
If they grew big, they didn't have problems with the cement. I saw somebody just this week in Springville trip on huge trees on their main street, and the cement was up more than what, you could see the dirt underneath one cement to the next cement. So like, if your trees do well, you planted them underneath the sidewalk.
You create another problem, huh?
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to continue to.
Well, there's different trees that the roots will grow up, and then there's trees the roots will go down. And there's people that know which ones to plant that way, and so that alleviates that sideway problem.
And
so if we plant, we probably better find out.
The right tree for the right place.
And some of it's your soils, too.
Yeah.
Is it your opinion the State Street trees are not the city's? That's the individual property?
Minus the ones that the city did plant, the ones with the more dual on the ones that go down in front, like in front of your store over to
First.
It was First
South
there.
Yeah, Mandalian Street.
But so nothing on this.
You should let the property owners know, because like the trees are dying and they need individual attention. They'd have to know.
Well, part of the other issue with those trees is they're getting up that power line too, and I know the power department addresses them as needed, but they're just going in and trimming out the center where the power line is. They're not shaping it like it should be shaped either, because they don't have the time to do that.
A lot of those trees were planted in the early 60s. Well, I was a kid.
Well, if you want wood chips, a bar, you could just like top all the trees, make them all the same height. Some are going to die, and some will be revived from it.
You have to let them sit for a few years though before you can use them. Most of the wood chips, I should say. Because the sap in them. Anything else with that? Okay, thank you. Thanks so much, Jay. All right. Power department's not here, so I guess we will not hear from them. So next item is to go into closed session. It's closed session.
Mike?
Yes.
Before you do that, can I ask a question? And I don't know if you can do this, but it's not on the agenda. Can you comment on the irrigation system, where we're standing with that, the new irrigation system?
So it's still tied up with that retired NRCS guy.
One guy's holding them up.
Is that normal?
It's been like 20 years now.
Well, they've gone through the environmental study. They've done, I forget what all the different studies is. When it hit a certain point, then they have to submit it to a retired NRCS guy, because they're the ones funding us. He has to approve it before we can go to the next step. And they said it could take 8 to 12 months for that guy to approve it. So that's where it's sitting.
Say retired, what has to be retired?
Has to be retired NRCS guy.
But that money is still set aside for this project?
Yes, yes, the money's still there. Yep.
Wow.
And that's the worst thing again, because it's like you work at his pace, if he doesn't want to work today, he doesn't even look at it, you know?
So we're holding up the ropes because of one guy.
Yeah.
And I'm losing patience with that. I'm starting to think our roads can't wait.
I know.
Because it can be years. And if it ever happens, it's starting to look like a Minerals project to me.
I think once we get, Bryce is pretty positive that once we jump through this hoop, that it should go fairly quick. He's hoping that, well, let's see, what did he tell me? He's hoping he can get it done quick, and then we go through our public hearings again through the springtime. He's hoping by, let's see, 23 to be actually digging.
23 before we dig.
Is the engineering company still in the process of designing, or are they done?
The dam is designed.
So what about the lines?
That hasn't been, they've got some preliminary, but it's not, yeah, not a complete design. Yeah. It's pretty frustrating, really.
It's a federal grant, right?
Yeah.
It's a federal program, so.
So you have to go through all the federal hoops. They submitted it to do a 750-acre foot pond. I think we're finally, when it went to this guy, that was their recommendation. We will have to leave the top 200-acre feet for flood control. So we'll be able to store 500 acre feet was their proposal. We was hoping to get up to 750 acre storage, but it looks like it's going to have to stay at 500.
Don't you have to, as far as the storage right though, are they working through that still? Or?
The Narrows Water has been deeded to the San Pete Water Conservative District.
Okay, I thought it was kind of pretty much done on that one, huh?
It's deeded over to San Pete County now, so that's where we're hoping the trade will come.
So exchange on that?
Yes. Yep. Yep. And so I know that San Pete Water Conservative District is doing a study, again, you hate to say it, a study on every diversion that comes out of San Pete River from Gunnison Reservoir to Fairview Canyon. Because that's part of what they have to do as part of that transfer of the storage. Being able to do that.
Wheels turn slow.
Very slow.
Well, that means the water that we don't get out of the M&M ditch, we can get out of the Narrows now.
Not the M&M ditch.
At M&M ditch, the Mount Pleasant Roanoke ditch actually diverts up every leg now as it goes from Roanoke. We don't get a drop of it because it can't flow uphill. That's why it was called the M&M ditch. But we've never got a drop of water out of that ditch. So that water that we're supposed to have out of that ditch, maybe we get it out of the Narrows.
I don't think we're entitled to any water out of that ditch.
That's not what I was told when it was built.
We'll have to pull up the Cox Decree over there in the city office and see, because I think it's just called that. But I don't think Mount Pleasant was entitled to any water out of that. Because over in the, with that copy of the Cox Decree on the board over there, it goes into every ditch and who's got water rights in that decree. So.
Water right now is like gold.
Well, it sounds like our culinary water wells have been a real blessing.
Yeah, it's looking really promising. That's one good thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully the water tests good, because that's the thing again.
Yeah, what's in it?
Water. Yeah, what's in it? So.
At least it doesn't stink.
Yeah, yeah, they look good.
No sulfur smell though.
No.
Hmm. Did you make a decision on your other well that you were thinking to do down?
Yes, we're moving forward with it. We're in the process of trying to find funding. That's, speaking of that well again, it's like, we're seeing that come to us so quick. Most of the grants, again, take a year to 2 years to get a grant to do anything. I mean, from the time you apply to when you finally get approved to be able to get it. So that's part of our trouble right now, is because that comes so fast. We've applied for a couple of different grants, but we don't know if the owners are going to wait long enough for us to get the grant, if we're actually going to have to finance it. So we're looking at all different options of financing it, from banks to them carrying the contract to lots of things.
That's your number one priority.
It will help a lot. With the well, the way the well's turning out at the flood dam and that one, it will definitely make a big difference.
And the treatment plant.
Plus the treatment
plant. Yeah, plus the treatment plant. And then hopefully the reservoir comes behind it, and we've got lots of pieces falling in place now, if they'll only keep falling into place. So yeah. Any other questions on it? Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to be excused.
You're going to work?
Going in for a graveyard shift, so mark me here and then absent, I guess.
Just be safe.
Excused at work time.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
just be safe, buddy.
Our next meeting, I'll be here for the whole meeting now. That's not a scheduled work day, so
you hope.
Well, you know how those things go.
Yeah. Thanks a lot,
guys.
Hey, buddy. Take care.
All right.
Next, the test to see how well you listen to your trainer.
I did make a note here that says to go in the closed session, we have to have a motion and we have to have a roll call.
We have to have a second?
Huh?
A motion?
You have to have a motion to go into the closed session.
Or just, does it have to be seconded?
Yeah, and then it has to be a roll call vote.
Does it have to be seconded, or just, because I don't think you said that, just had to be a motion.
Yeah, it has to be seconded.
Okay.
And then you have to state the reason why you're going into the closed session. So it has to be from one of those reasons.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is to go into a closed session to discuss the character, professional competency, or physical or mental health of an individual.
So I can make a motion and we go into closed session.
Right.
Do you want to make a motion?
All right.
I make a motion and we go into closed session.
Okay.
For the discussion of character, of professional competence, physical or mental health of an individual. We need a second.
Have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so the motion by Russell and seconded by Sam to go into a closed session to discuss the character, professional competency, or physical or mental health of an individual. And then we have to do a roll call.
Justin.
I'll reluctantly say yes, because I don't know what it's about. But
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
And Sam.
Yes.
I don't like these things.
I don't either.
I don't like these things.
I gotta take it.
Okay, we'll continue with our agenda for the council reports. Justin.
What?
Word now.
No, that you're going to, what your decision was is to have
okay, that's right.
An executive session.
Okay. Decision coming out of the closed session was to have an executive work session on the 19th at 7:30. now we can go on.
That's the following of planning and zoning, right?
Yes, that's following the planning and zoning.
What day is the 19th?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
I won't be here. I'm out of town. So you'll have a call, you can handle it.
Now you tell us.
The 19th, I'm always figuring, you know, it's months getting away from me.
Well, Rondi, if Rondi...
Now, if we done another night, I...
Well, I think...
We'll move forward.
I can be virtual.
We can move forward with it, as planned.
Okay.
So that was the decision coming out of the closed session. City Council reports, Justin.
Okay, for the sake of time, I'm going to be brief. So our meeting on the 19th, I have had some discussions with a couple of planners in other communities on planning developments, HOAs. I can always tell that night to talk about some of the differences and what the advantages are, disadvantages, and things like that. As far as Land Water Conservation Fund grant, I did get word from Susan at State Parks that has been moved to the National Parks Service. So from here, it's probably just a formality that the grant will go through. Maybe I've already told you guys this, but she needs me to do some additional follow-up paperwork. One of those, in which I'm a little bit concerned about, is to identify the boundary of the park. What was the original boundary when we got the first Land Water Conservation Fund back in the late 70s, early 80s to do the rodeo arena and the tennis courts. So that was funded through this same thing. So the boundary that was identified in that application was what they accepted as a perpetual boundary that was set aside for Land Water Conservation. The thing that concerns me a little bit is we have sold some of that for the railroad cars. And I didn't connect the dots until she told me that might have to be basically a survey boundary that hasn't been encumbered by other use, which is commercial. So that may be a complicated issue to work through. Hopefully it's not too complicated that we decide just to forego the grant. I haven't told Susan that's the situation yet, but it's gonna come up.
What about the rodeo grounds? You mentioned the rodeo ground part of it too.
Yeah, but we haven't encumbered that. That's the way it's been.
Yeah.
But where we sold some of that for commercial, I'm a little bit afraid that it's gonna muddy the water a little bit. So we'll. You know, when we were making those first decisions on that train car, I didn't realize that park was funded through the same program. So, anyway, I think the decision tonight isn't whatever's done is done at this point. The extra car is not going to make that much difference.
No. So.
Anyway, that could be a little bit of a hurdle.
The one that fixed the park.
I don't.
So you fix it.
I don't know. I'll have to try it. There may be some kind of conversion exercise that we have to do and put that conservation somewhere else that strip.
Could we put it down to the rodeo or the industrial park where we want to go with the rodeo arena anyway?
We probably put it somewhere where we feel like that's going to be what it is forever. I mean, I don't like to use that term
She did make some suggestions to you as part of the rodeo grounds for recreation. You know, tennis courts, something similar to fair use recreation.
That's not a problem because you can convert the use of that.
Yeah, you can change the use, right?
As long as it's recreation.
Yeah, as long as it stays recreation.
But you can't sell it for commercial. or else you have to take the value of that commercial and display or move that somewhere else with the same. It's not acre for acre, it's a dollar value at that point. So you get into appraisals, you get into environmental, and so I'm hoping with that, just that little portion, it's not going to be too difficult. So we'll see. I know that's a little bit of bad news, but it's the reality of it. And I can't, you know, we can't
skirt around here about it. No. If you don't go through it, don't go through.
Yeah. Well, or we'll just have to, it'll still go through. There just may be some things that we have to do to make that,
to
clear that up. And depending on how cumbersome and expensive that is, then that'll probably help make our decision. So.
Okay.
That's really all I've got. I did attend the Water Users Summit today at Utah Valley. The topic was drought, talking about what other communities are doing. There is about, I think, $100 million that's been allocated through the ARPA to do drought contingency plans and things like that, meters. But one thing that I was thinking is that maybe knowing what we went through this last year, it might be good to have a drought response plan to where when we get into situations, maybe we look at a rate structure that's different during drought or something like that to and take different measures. Just so when we're in this situation where we're not scrambling as to, okay, what do? We already have a document, a guided document that says, okay, when you're in this level of drought, then here's some steps you can take to mitigate that. So that might be something that we want to look into.
Okay, well, I do think that we could have circumstances where, just like if trees are a problem, going without water that long.
Yeah, exactly. Have, those kinds of things that we've experienced.
We state things that work.
Maybe like they said up there, the yellow is the new green. I mean, there was people that were happy to, at least from the discussions that they were having in that summit, they were happy to let their grass go yellow as long as they could keep their trees and their shrubs alive. So,
well, grass is pretty hardy, it'll come back.
Yeah. And maybe ordinances that limit the amount of green space, maybe those are some other things. Or certified conservation houses that have, you know, a limited amount of grass, that have all the conservation for toilets and things. Maybe they get a break or something if they have those kinds of homes. So there's a lot of ideas out there that
I can tell you, if you've ever used one of them low flow toilets, they suck.
Well, I wouldn't buy one, but maybe.
Well, I'm not going to say problems with your system.
They do. They
but I think it would be more outdoor use related. I think for the most part, indoor is other than with the outdoor, the people using the culinary for their outdoor is an issue.
Yeah.
But if we were strictly on irrigation and the culinary was just doing indoor, we'd be in pretty good shape.
We'd be in good shape.
And I think, you know, some of the things that you're looking at with that well, and just and getting some of those big users on a separate system would go a long ways.
Yep.
Kevin, that's all I have.
Kevin, what do you want?
Well, one thing, we have a celebration meeting this Thursday, and I don't know, there are certain things we have been doing. If I would just ask if there's any suggestions anybody has about
what
kind of celebration
lighting
ceremony.
And I know Natalie emailed me, I won't be able to make it, but if I don't know if you want me to call in, maybe I can call in somebody, or I don't work Fridays. Fridays are always good for me, but.
Just if you got some suggestions that you want to see for the fireworks.
Fireworks.
Or not, or what?
Fireworks are just hard anymore, where we just don't have the room and the requirements to light them. So that's the hard part. I mean, we're kind of doing it not safe, is the best way to word it, because we're not meeting our footages. But I know everybody's liking fireworks, so I don't know. I mean, we can still do them up there in the parking lot.
was it last year or 2 years ago, we had a little mishap with one that kind of went off in a different direction.
2 years ago, so we didn't do them last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's my only concern is liability issues.
Do you think the city expects the fireworks on the lighting sound?
I don't know.
I don't ever remember them.
Well, I don't either.
They didn't do it last year.
So this is year to change because we didn't do it last year.
One thing that Natalie and Brittany were wondering about was last year they kind of had a couple of the trucks, the buckets, that they had draped some lights from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they can still do
that. That's why we did the drive around.
Yeah, we did the drive through last year.
And they are extending it to 200 West, so because this building and Wells Fargo will be involved in the ceremony.
The open house.
If we avoid fireworks, it'd be better. I mean,
I don't think there will be a big deal if you don't.
So.
It wasn't, if I remember, like a block.
We only did usually like 12, 15 of them, but so I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I'd say it's
starting a new tradition.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm okay now.
That takes people away from what we're doing here to go do them.
Yeah.
Some virtual stuff. Part of it with it being on Sunday, there's so much confusion and the COVID ramping up and everything else that we just...
Okay. Well, because they've done some of the pool.
Yeah.
They're doing kind of the virtual thing again this year, like they did last year. Putting up pictures for people to play a hunting game to go around and find the pictures.
And the businesses.
They're going to do the book readout.
They're going to walk the path. I remember reading that.
And if they find all of the pictures, Brittany and Natalie have little booklets. If they find all of the pictures and let Natalie and Brittany know, they'll be put in for a drawing for a prize.
So they do it on their phone or something?
There's a little booklet that they can come into City Hall and get and then go around and mark them off as they find them.
So it's like a scavenger hunt?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for Halloween.
Yep.
Yeah. But you lost me on the virtual stuff, I didn't.
Yeah. They're just not going to have the party like we've had up there where they played games and that. Just with the concern, like the mayor said.
Stephanie was doing a virtual 5K or something too, so she's got something too.
What's that?
I don't know.
You just do it at your own pace, whenever.
Oh, so it's not
everybody doing it.
It's not like.
Yeah, you just don't do it all as a big group.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we won't worry about fireworks, and you want the boom trucks with the lighting and.
I think they were. Well, that was power truck and then our ladder truck.
I think it was the power truck and ladder truck. Yeah.
Hang on to temperatures as long as it don't get super cold so it don't freeze water in them. That's the only thing we worry about with the trucks being out if they're not running. If the pump's not running, then not recirculating the water, they can freeze.
I think her hope was to try and go from one side of the street to the other, so maybe they have a power truck and can go from this building to the power truck.
Like I said, we can do it. If we need a ladder truck, we can do whatever. As long as it ain't super, super cold, that'd be my only worry.
So the ladder truck's full of water.
Yep.
And that's not good to drain it, or?
Just leave it running.
Yeah. 2-3 hours. Yeah.
I know we have talked about moving the stage maybe to this intersection.
Right in the center?
Yes, right in the center of this intersection more, and then having the stage face more east. Thinking
that way it's not in the crowd with Santa Claus, because that line can get kind of in some of the film. And she's already talked to Shane, who said there would be a problem moving the power down for them.
Is that
getting the power there?
Do they still have the old bucket truck up there too, the old blue? Is it not working?
I think they still have old blue, but I think old blue may have died.
It's still working, isn't it? That, I mean, if you had
to,
those two bucket trucks would be, would work. Just as a thought.
Is our stage still good enough to use?
Yeah, it's still, we did some work to it, so it'll probably last one more year.
I know we talked about the stage thing with the city park thing.
Yeah.
It would be nice to get a
newer one.
A newer one.
Maybe that $14,000 could be used on a stage.
Maybe.
That'd be good. Because it would be used at the park and
use it at other places and other activities.
Take us in your stage, maybe.
Natalie did mention that they were hoping to maybe get a different stage for the Pub City Days. Because that one's starting to get worn a little.
Well, if we keep bringing that up, maybe we can see that it gets...
Done?
Funding.
Anything else you have, Kevin?
No.
Russ?
I'd talk to both, they're just transitioning from their fall and summer sports into the winter sports. Said everything's going good, she told me about the thing that happened up there. Told her if you needed any further help or anything on that situation, give me a call. But other than that, said everything went well. Had a good summer and a good fall, so they're moving onward and upward. That's all I got.
I don't have anything.
Did you get the email on the AT&T you want to go out here on the tower?
Yes, I replied back. Did you not get my reply?
I didn't get it.
If things go south, is always better, especially if we're going to build to the station. The more we encroach it, being able to do anything with the station would be...
That was my recommendation, to go that way.
If we can keep it south, we'd much rather have it go south.
AT&T's contacted us wanting to put another dish out here on the tower. Putting their dish on the tower. Their proposal showed it coming to the north. They really didn't like it, because that's what you'd mentioned before, that it encroaches so much on the fire station to get the fire truck in if we add on and stuff, so... We were going to approach them to see if they'd go to the south and maybe even help pay something to relocate that shed.
Yeah.
That's out there.
I don't think they're doing anything in that shed.
There's some celebration stuff.
Some discussion with the ambulance association.
We couldn't come up with the funding quick enough, and they're ready to move, so they're going to go.
Oh. They got funding then?
Well, they said they did. I don't know.
I've heard they've got quite a wad in the bank ready to go. So
maybe that's what they just got.
That's their funding. From what I've heard, that they've got ready to go. So
they gonna do it in the route behind, you know?
I don't know. They were told originally they couldn't do it in front. And I said they could do it in front, but so there might be a little discussion on that. So
I think there's some conditions that they would have to meet for the front. That's a historical overlay, but I don't know that it can't be done.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Anyway.
I'd sooner have them see them come out on State Street, because that sure be a lot better add to our State Street than what we've got right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of an eyesore now, and it'd help take care of that eyesore. Mm. So.
Can I ask you a question about that? Isn't there an issue over the historic overlay zone with what they're trying to do over there?
But it depends on what you call as the front of the building, too. Because really, to me, the front is what faces the street, and where they didn't purchase the property, they've got the frontage, which is all basically Second North. So, yeah, there's a little discussion on that, but... You can't keep somebody from not building in front of you either with that big chunk of ground. And
well, I think the issues were, if I'm not mistaken, related to the design of the building, not whether they put it up. But
there was some things that had to be approved with the state on the architecture and things like that.
See, they were told they flat out could not build in front. The association was told that originally.
So it's have to have a brick front or something, a brick?
Yeah, to make it look historical.
Yeah.
So you can use a different sod. That's all right. I signed it.
We don't want to
have I think that's all I have. We talked about wells, so.
And I make a motion to adjourn.
Motion and second by Sam, we adjourn.
Well, I told my wife, I'm going to come home to bed early.
I told you.
I don't know about that.